Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Kevin Connors of ESPN joining me here on the West Her Hotline. Mr. Connors, we're having fun today, man, and we're bringing you into a little Fleetwood here. Okay, we set the stage properly for you, and we had Mike Giardi of NFL Network on last just before you, and Eric Wood before that, and there's a pretty common consensus here, Kevin. Everyone thinks it's going to be a close game, but I haven't heard anyone give me the true argument or make me feel a way that makes me think the Bills really they're going to win tomorrow. And this is why I brought you on. I brought you on to bring me some confidence, to tell me what I should be thinking about for the rest of today. So not a lot of pressure, but we're relying on you a little bit here, Kevin.
So, Nate, you go to Connors for the fully biased opinion, right? Everyone else is giving you the unbiased, and you go to me for the biased. And that's a smart decision, by the way. I'll tell you that.
Listen, I know my guests, okay, if nothing else. I know what I'm bringing you on for, my friend. Well, first and foremost, thank you so much for making time for us. Secondly, Kevin, what an exciting time for Bills fans. 27 years ago, these two teams faced off, Jim Kelly versus Joe Montana, if you can believe it. And here we are 27 years later. By the way, the last game in 1994 was 27 years past their previous AFC Championship game. So every 27 years, I think you can mark your calendar, Kevin.
It's like a comet, right? I mean, you know, Bills Chiefs in the AFC Championship every 27 years. You know what's great, Nate, about that is that, you know, on SportsCenter this week, we've been running, you know, the special high-end in-bump of memories of these two teams playing. And Dick Enberg was on the call of that game 27 years ago, which is so great to hear. And, of course, Thurman had the big game, and then we win. And it's a buzzsaw, Kelly over Montana. Look, you know, everyone's expecting a great game, and I'm not going to come on and say any different. I'm not sure it's going to be as high scoring as what everyone is. Generally, when everyone's expecting a big-time shootout, it doesn't always play out that way. And look, as great as the Chiefs' offense is, why should we expect that this Bills defense that gave up 3 points a week ago to the reigning MVP is suddenly going to get gashed? So I don't know that it's going to be quite the shootout that everyone's expecting. I think it has the potential to be, obviously. But, boy, I love the way we're playing, and I love the juju in this season for this team.
Yeah, and, you know, the end of the year speaks to me, Kevin, because, you know, you watched this team run over teams like they were not playing in the same level. Like, you know, I go back to that Miami Dolphins Week 17 game. I go back to that Week 15 game against the Denver Broncos, and it looked like the Bills were playing JV teams, and that does not happen in the NFL. And what I said this the other day, and maybe it was on a Kansas City radio station, and they kind of chuckled when I said, the Bills remind me a lot of the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs. The way that they play offense, the point differential, the Bills are plus 134 since Week 10. This is a team that was blowing teams out. And you know, post-games, I remember very vividly, Kevin, my post-game show after the Jets game where the Bills went 18-10, and I had a post-game article that said, when is it going to be okay for us to want more? You know, to lot more than 18 points against a team that had two wins this year, or one win, whatever they ended up having, right? Like, when was it going to be okay? And 1 week later, and then the rest is history, right? Like, after week 10, it was over with. This team started winning with style points and winning going away. And I guess my question, and kind of bringing this back to you, is what do those wins mean then if they don't mean anything now? Like, a lot of people say, well, that's a regular season. It doesn't matter. This is a different time. Style points don't matter in the playoffs. But I guess my question is, why did it matter to those people last year when it was Kansas City, but it doesn't matter now that it's the Bills?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of ways it's a national lack of respect for the organization. And Nate, if we're being honest about it, this organization has not been a winning one in a long time, the past couple of years notwithstanding. But it's a different organization now. And I was in with Bean and McDermott from the beginning. I really was. I just really believed in the approach. Everyone would joke around about trust the process, but it's what you have to do. If you have a good plan, which clearly they did, you've got to be patient with it, and you've got to try to see it through. And of course, luck has played its role. And all that stuff. We can get into all that stuff too. But look, you know, how about this? How about the last four road games, this team has scored 30 points or more? How about that? And we all know, of course, about what the winning streak would be if not for the Hail Mary, but this team has gone on the road and played really, really well. You know, I guess to get back to the question that you asked, you know, look, I was someone in the beginning of the season when people would say to me, hey, what do we have to do to follow up on the playoff appearance from last year? What? I said, you know what? We've got to win the division.
Yeah.
I said, it's okay to have those expectations now because we have arrived. This team is good. It's okay to be in that mindset. And it was, if we could just make the playoffs. Well, you know what? I sort of felt it was time to graduate. Although I will be honest to you in telling you, Nate, that I didn't expect this. I didn't expect to be feeling as confident as I do going into a road AFC championship game. But guess what? Things happen faster than you expect sometimes, and I'm really confident about tomorrow.
Kevin Connors here at ESPN and SportsCenter on the Western Hotline, joining us here to talk Bills and Chiefs. And Kevin, it's remarkable to think about the impact one player can have on an offense, but when you look at what Stephon Diggs has done this year, first in targets, first in receptions, first in receiving yards, I mean, these are remarkable things for a guy that's walking in. And this is the thing for me, right? This is his first opportunity to play with Josh Allen in a significantly shortened offseason, where instead of doing in-person meetings, we're doing Zoom meetings, and you don't get to be in the same room breaking down film with the quarterback. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend that either of us are in NFL locker rooms to know what the differences might truly be, but I've got to say, I just, thinking about wide receivers, and maybe this started last year, the writing was on the wall when John Brown has 1,000 yards and Cole Beasley has career years. Kevin, in years past and in decades past, the Bills were an organization that if you were a receiver, this is where the end of your career was coming. This was the Bills were lucky to get Terrell Owens the very back end of his career. And I just, you don't see guys that were successful elsewhere choose to come to Buffalo. And man, I mean, started last year with those guys, Beasley and Brown, but I'm just thrown back, and I'm taken aback about just how much success that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs here. It's just really unheard of.
Yeah, and you make a great point, Nate. And Josh gets so much credit, and deservedly so. I love the guy. I interviewed him before the Bills even drafted him, and I was like, I want that guy. It was 2-3 days before the draft, and I'm thinking, I even said to him after the interview, I'm like, man, do you know what Bills Mafia is? Like, we'd love to have you. And again, obviously, here we are with Josh, one of the premier quarterbacks in the league. And I bristle every time experts, including on my own network, will say, well, you know, have not given him credit. The guy's arrived. I mean, he is a top five quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion, right now. Having said that, Stephon Diggs is the real deal. I mean, he's made a quarterback who got really good better. He's made Cole Beasley better. When John Brown is healthy, he makes John Brown better. He catches everything that's thrown to him. He is an elite route runner. And remember when the knock on him was that he was a diva? You know, remember that whole narrative, Nate, where it was like, oh, he's a pain in the neck. He's a cancer in the locker room. Yeah. You know, really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. And here's the other thought that I had in going back, and you're talking about the place that receivers go to die. And we talked about luck a little bit here. Remember a couple of years ago when the Bills traded for Antonio Brown, except Antonio Brown didn't want to go to Buffalo? Like, you think luck doesn't play a part in it? You think that the Bills would be the team that they are today with Antonio Brown or Stephon Diggs? Like, I'll take the latter. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and you know, I think what it proves is there was a level of commitment, a level of trust that Brandon Bean had in a quarterback that almost universally no one else had. And I think that's why you see a Brandon Bean. And I know there was some people that talked about some other general managers. Listen, there was a lot of very good general managers worthy of Executive of the Year. But I think part of that is understanding and believing in Josh Allen to the point where not a lot of others did, to go out and get him a receiver. And you know what else is that strikes me, Kevin, is thinking about the 180 that Brandon Bean has done and the type of player he thinks best fits around Josh Allen. I mean, his rookie year, they surrounded him with towering, slow, big, I'm going to go up and catch it, and Andre Holmes and Kelvin Benjamin to Isaiah McKenzie and Cole Beasley, John Brown and Diggs. I mean, what a 180. And that just goes to show you a general manager who understands the strengths of his quarterback and his roster and builds accordingly.
Yeah, and is flexible and is willing to be. You know, I mean, how many, in the NFL especially, Nate, how many people have their way of doing things, and if you're not this type of guy or now gal as a coach or a player, you don't fit here. Like, how great is that? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about, I tweeted this out last Sunday, last Saturday night, how gratifying is it to see this team built this way? Not to take anything away from Tampa Bay, but they went out and hired guns, man. I mean, you know, and good for them. Like they got Tom Brady, and then they went out and filled up the roster around him. And good for them. They sensed that they had a window, and they went for it. But how much more gratifying is it to have done this primarily through the draft? And it's not just first-round picks that have hit. I mean, it was a while there. We weren't even hitting on first-round picks. Now we're hitting on first-round picks and third-round picks and fifth-round picks. You know, and in some cases, seventh-round picks. That, to me, has been the most exciting part of it, and it's no secret in the NFL. If you can do that, you can immediately upgrade your roster, and it's been the charming aspect of this, right? We've sort of grown it from within and seen it blossom, and it's come, I think, a little bit faster than even some of us thought.
So I have to do this. We have to talk a little bit about the defense. I know it's hard to when this team has just been as exciting offensively as they have been, but Matt Milano, I mean, his presence in the lineup and lack of presence in week six, you know, is that part of the formula for you that kind of is going to give you the confidence that when you put your hat on tomorrow and you kick your feet up on the couch and you watch this game, like, yeah, I feel confident because, and maybe Matt Milano's part of that.
You know, Nate, there's no question about it. I mean, you know, he's one of the better linebackers in the NFL. You add that guy to the mix, obviously, it changes the makeup of this defense. Levi Wallace, I don't believe, played in the first game against Kansas City. Obviously, you need secondary depth against this Chiefs team. You know, why do I believe it's going to be different? Because I believe this team believes now. Like, I think that they sensed that there was something different about this year back then. But I think that the confidence this team is playing with right now is through the roof. I think that's a real thing in the NFL. I think that this, I mean, listen, you cannot tell me you can walk off the field after shutting down the reigning MVP a week ago and not feel good about how you're playing going into Kansas City against probably the best offense in the NFL, right? But Lamar Jackson is the MVP, and he can beat you in so many ways. And they kicked a field goal last week, Nate. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
So I think this defense is playing at a tremendous level. Got to be as good as we were a week ago. I'm not saying it's going to be a layup tomorrow. I think Tremaine Edmonds has been a little bit unfairly criticized this year. You know, I think losing Star Latulale impacted his game.
No doubt.
Love Tremaine. I you know, anyone who's not a Tremaine Edmonds fan, I'm like, hang on a minute, man. This guy is young and uber talented and really good. So I love all the pieces of this D. If you can't, I'm doing about 10 hours of college basketball tonight. I would trade that to be with you for the next 10 hours.
I would love that, Kevin. Trust me. And listen, you know, I think about often, you know, the position that myself I'm in, and it's so fun. I mean, Kevin, I grew up my high school field in the north end zone. If you got to the end zone, you could look to your left and you could see Ralph Wilson Stadium at the time. And I grew up down the street right in Hamburg, and this is a really amazing moment for me as 29-year-old who was not. You know, my memories of the Bills are the ones that my dad was able to vividly tell me. You know, I don't have that. And we've had plenty of conversations all year about sort of the disconnect between my generation and my dad's and grandfather's generation, because we just don't have the, you know, the primary feeling of that experience. And it's all secondary memories and knowledge. And I think people my age are really, I think, starting to learn what it was like on a consistent basis for two, three, almost a full decade.
I mean, you know, listen, I was in high school and college for the four consecutive Super Bowls. I'm a kid on Long Island rooting for a team from Western New York who I got to see, you know, four or five times a year, because there was no such thing as DirecTV back then, and the only games I got in my local market were Jets and Giants games. So I'd get to see the Bills every now and again, and I got to see highlights every week thanks to Chris Berman. Now I pass him in the hallway here. I mean, I'm the luckiest slob alive that I get to live out a dream of passing one of my idols in the hallway who called highlights of my favorite team, and here we are again. And look, you know what? I tell people this all the time. We're the best fan base in sports because, you know, it's easy to be a Cowboys fan. You know, they're good almost every year. It's easy to be a Yankee fan, which I am. The Yankees are great every year. It's not easy to be a fan of a team that has gone through lean years and stuck with them. And that stadium is always packed, and that fan base is always vocal. I defy you in non-COVID times to walk through an airport and see someone wearing any piece of Bills gear, and there not being a connection between Bills fans passing each other wherever you are. We're the best fan base in sports. I am so happy for Bills fans that we're getting to enjoy this run. And Nate, I can't tell you how many non-Bills fans here at ESPN or outside have reached out to me and said, you know what, man, I'm talking Patriots fans, Jets fans, other NFL teams saying, I am so happy for you guys. I'm rooting for the Bills because this team is so much fun to watch. How cool is that to hear?
It's certainly, I'll say this, it's certainly a shift from what I know you're probably accustomed to, what I'm accustomed to. I mean, you know, has any organization been more defined by a field goal than the Buffalo Bills? Or just, you know, and like, it's always the same jokes, you know, and it's the inverse of the Yankees. All the Yankees talk about are the 27 championships. I know you're Yankees, don't worry. That, you know, all they do is they talk about that one thing. And the inverse of that, that's what everyone talks about here in Buffalo, is that moment, the wide right and the four Super Bowl losses. And it's this running joke because there's been nothing else to talk about for two decades. And I, for one, like you, I'm just so happy. And I think both of us, this is the best part about it. Allen, Bean, McDermott, could you have named better people, humans, to be the face of the franchise? They're very easy to root for, Kevin.
You're right. I mean, you know, look, I hope one day to meet Sean and Brandon. Never have. I've spoken with Josh via satellite, but think about how those three individuals have embraced the community. Look at Josh Norman. Josh Norman, who's been in the league for, you know, what, 10 years. He plays 1 year with us. He's hurt half the year. And look what he's doing, yeah, raising money for local businesses. I mean, you know, there's a that's why I say it, man. There's something special. And look, I'm not a Western New Yorker. I'm a Long Island guy, okay? So it's not like I'm pounding my chest for an area that I grew up in. But I see it. I mean, obviously, as a Bills fan, there's that allegiance. But I see it. I mean, yeah, how many different ways? I talked about it on SportsCenter during the week. The Lamar Jackson charity, Andy Dalton a couple of years ago, Josh's grandmother with a local children's hospital. I mean, you want to go on? I mean, this fan base. And can you remember a few years ago when there was talk, boy, we might move the Bills out of Buffalo?
Right.
I mean, you know, and you think, again, you know, the fan base endures that. They endure the losing years, of which there have been a lot over the past 40, 50, 60 years of this organization. And yet, and yet we remain resolute, and here we are 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl. Think about that. Think about 26 years it's been since the last championship game, man. I can't wait, and again, I couldn't be happier for my brethren in Western New York.
Well, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for joining us and making some time for us here in Western New York. We really appreciate it. Love the analysis and love the fandom, man. It's great to have allies in the national spotlight. So we really appreciate you, Kevin. Thanks so much. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Enjoy your afternoon of college basketball, and thanks for making time for us over here.
Nate, anytime. I had a pleasure, and go Bills!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.